Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord on the first Sunday of May. So we are into a new month and welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and pray that you not only experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit, but fellowship with God's family. Don't know how well you looked at things on the screen or read in your bulletin, but tomorrow is the official first day for Pastor Ryan as pastor of music and worship. We didn't time it out real well between the church's calendar and Eric's calendar, so I'm actually leaving for a conference over in Cleveland tomorrow. So his official first day was tomorrow, but he actually came in last Thursday, and we got some things ready so he can transition well into his office. So please be praying for him in these coming days and weeks. How well did you read The Visitor? There is a little article in there, I think, underneath the consistory about reintroducing passing the peace, which has not been in our order of worship since the beginning of the pandemic. And so consistory has asked that that be put back in the services. We're not doing it yet today. We are trying to educate a little bit about what that might mean. And passing the peace is symbolic, how we greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, well, I was wondering where you are. There's Pastor Ryan. You're supposed to sit over there. You're not allowed to change sides. Not only did you change sides, but Denny Hornish is sitting over here, and my family is on the wrong side, so everybody's trying to mess me up. I don't like talking about someone if I know they're here and those kind of things, so good job. Passing the peace is sharing the peace of Christ with one another, and it's a symbolism of welcoming people in, and it's a greeting time. So in a couple of weeks, we will have passing the peace in the service. That will be that time when we invite you to stand and greet those around you, or you're allowed to cross the aisle and greet people on the other side. You can take your time to run up to the balcony, or the balcony can run down to greet one another. We try to do it in less than 30 seconds, though. Not really. We have learned to take your time. Now, even before the pandemic, there were people that really weren't too enthusiastic about passing the peace. And so it's not just pandemic related, but we are going to bring that back. And there's a couple of ways that we realize each other's preferences, and we honor that. So if you are someone that wants to shake somebody's hand, all you have to do is put out your hand and they'll know that you're willing to have your hand shaken. If you would prefer not to shake someone's hand, all you have to do is raise your arm up like this. It can be either arm, it doesn't matter, and that just tells us you'd rather not shake your hand. That came into play at 8 o'clock this morning. Someone didn't want to shake hands, and so they just held their hands together, and I knew that they weren't feeling exactly well, and so they were being cautious. And it's called respecting of one another. So you'll see that come, and we just will learn that as we go through the days and through the weeks. National Day of Prayer is an event hosted by the Archbold Area Ministerial Association. It is happening on this Thursday at 6:30 at Ruley Park. There are seven people from the community that will be reading and leading, and then we ask people from the community to come and honor that time of prayer. And if it happens to be inclement weather, we will move indoors to Archbold Middle School. So please be aware of that. I believe there's an article in the bulletin about God winks, where we're looking for people and their testimony of how God has moved in your life and inspired you. I'm sharing some testimonies at the end of my sermon, and that piqued someone's interest at the 8 o'clock service, and they shared a little bit of their testimony, and I said, oh, you could write that down and preach it. They really weren't sure about that, but we're working on those possibilities. So remember the God Winks Project. Help Build Hope. We're less than 2 weeks from that event. Had some more people ask this morning, where's the sign-up sheet? Help Build Hope event is sponsored by Help Build Hope. We're involved and we're sponsoring, but they are running the event. So that's why it's an online sign-up only. The easiest way to find that link is to go on our church website, scroll down, and there's the link to sign up. If you would rather not do that, just let me know you're coming, and then I will sign you up, and hopefully you'll get a reminder email. We have to have you sign up as much as you can, because then you get to check off the liability thing. So I've signed off on a lot of people that I have registered on their behalf. But if you can go online, fill that out, that would be great. If you'd rather have me do that, let me know, and I will get you signed up for that. Our mission of the month is Cherry Street Mission Ministries. And here's a 30-second video from Cherry Street to remind us of what they do and how our support of their ministry help makes a difference. So Cherry Street.
Food is great, but sometimes we need a better solution. At Cherry Street, we know people are hungry for more than a meal. They are hungry for change. Rooted in faith, we offer support for those hungry for hope and healing. And with your support, we can continue to feed futures, making a difference and empowering our community together.
Oh, you can continue to support Cherry Street in this month. As we turn to our worship of God this morning, we read from Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is a psalm of David, written after a time when he might have been seriously ill, thinking that he was going to die, and so he offers this psalm to the Lord. Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Let's bow in prayer. Indeed, O Lord, we come. We come before you to recognize you, that you are our God. And we come in to offer our thanks, a thanks that is everlasting, for the ways that you have reached out to us and changed our hearts, the ways that you have filled our hearts with your love and with your joy. Lord, even when we are struggling with the things of this world, we know that as we come before you, you can give us relief. And you inspire us. And Lord, we pray that in this time of communal worship, we would be a blessing to you. We would honor you, not only in this hour, but in our daily lives. To bring you glory and honor, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Let's quiet our hearts and put our focus on Christ as we invite him into our time of worship. Feel free to join us in our morning prelude.
Thank you.
read the passage of Saul being struck by a sudden light from heaven, the song I Saw the Light came to mind. Please join us in a medley of some good old gospel hymns about conversion and the grace and freedom Jesus gives us when we repent. And following this, we will sing the song I Surrender.
Stranger in mind, praise the Lord, I saw.
As we come to our time of prayer, you can see the concerns on the back of the bulletin. Would share that Phyllis Miller is still waiting to go into rehab, so she's not moved there yet, and the rest you can read. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord God, as we sang this morning, I found myself wondering, is it true? Do we each want to know you more? Sometimes in our own human thought, in our own history, in our own tradition, we think we might know enough. Maybe even bold enough to know that we know it all. And yet we know in reality that we're not Jesus. Unfortunately, we're nowhere close to knowing Jesus fully. So every song, every prayer, every scripture, every question, every doubt, every struggle, every joy, every sunrise, every sunset, every conversation, every moment of reflection, every new challenge, new obstacle, new situation, provides an opportunity for us to know you more. Lord, I pray that the words of that song would settle into our hearts and our minds throughout this day. That when we read from Acts chapter 9 about Saul's conversion, and when we think and challenge ourselves about the conversion of others, Lord, we have to be true to our own self and know that there are parts of our heart that you're still working on. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would intercede on our behalf continually, that you would give us that strong desire and that sense of encouragement to know you more, to know you even more. I pray that that's a good reminder for us all. And Lord, we pray in this time of the season, we pray for the season of spring, of new growth and new life. We pray for the planting of crops and the planting of gardens. We pray for the blessing of creation, that there would be food for the world's hungry to eat. We pray for safety during the time of planting. And we look forward to a blessed and abundant harvest. And we know that in all of creation, all is in your hands and in your care. And we pray for your providence and your provision. Lord, on this first Sunday of May, we pray for Pastor Ryan as he begins to settle in tomorrow. Lord, we pray for him, and we pray for the giftedness that you have created in him and bring to us. We continue to pray for his wife and sons as they finish up the school year. And we pray for their blessing. Lord, we're mindful of Gary and Judy Sears as they go this week to further appointments. They have decisions to make about treatment of Gary's cancer. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to them. We thank you for their faith in you. And we pray that you would just give them the presence of your Spirit to guide and direct the decisions they need to make. Lord, we pray for Jeremy Hurst and his family. Lord, we pray that the service on Friday was a blessing to them. And may they continue to rely upon their faith. Lord, may they know your peace. We pray for Phyllis as she looks forward to a time of rehab, a time of gaining in strength and health. We pray for her and for her husband, Denzel, and the family. Lord, we once again pray for Chloe Merrillett, the granddaughter of Roger and Kay. Lord, through a routine scan, there was something else that developed. We pray for Chloe. We pray for her parents, Keith and John, as they evaluate options and have decisions to make as well. We pray for Gary Beck. We pray for his health and for his peace of mind. We continue to pray for Leah Nafsinger and Eric and Sarah. We pray for Jenna Stuckey as she was able to be with worship once again this morning, and as she continues to gain strength, we praise you. We pray for Teresa, who continues to recover. Lord, how good it was this morning to see Devin and Jody in worship, and we just pray that as Devin continues to experience pain from those broken ribs, as he starts back to work maybe this week, we pray for his healing. Lord, we're thankful that Paulette Spots continues to undergo treatment, but also to gain strength and steps. She's no longer in need of dialysis, and we praise you for that. We continue to pray for Tracy and Sadi as they prepare for future surgeries. Lord, we pray for everyone here. We pray for those that are connected in, that they would know your presence and know your truth. Lord, bind us all together through the unity that we have in Christ, who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading can be found on page 1087 of the Pew Bible. It's Acts 9, verses 1 to 19, telling of the conversion of Saul. Acts 9, 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite children to come forward for the children's message. How are we doing?
Not good.
Not good. Now what's the problem?
I have two boobles on each hand.
Okay.
And I want...
Well, I trust that if you keep your hands still, they'll get better.
They will get better if I move them.
They'll get better if you move them? Well, but if you rest a little while, that'll help. Okay? So thanks for sharing that. And now it's my turn to talk a little bit to you, okay? Did you pay attention to what we just heard from the Bible? A man named Saul. What about Saul? Ryan?
He spends quarters.
He what?
Spends quarters.
He spends quarters? Okay. Let me try to share with you what we read about Saul, okay? Saul was a Jew. He was a believer in God, and he was not a believer in Jesus, okay? And Saul tried to do away with people called Christians. He was persecuting them. And so I have this little envelope to remind me that when we pull this out, it says, Saul hates Jesus. Okay?
And I do not do that.
That's good. But Saul hates Jesus. Okay? And we just read the account where, up on the screen or in the Bible, where Saul was walking along the road to go and persecute some more Christians. He was going to pull them out of their homes, and he was going to arrest them because they loved Jesus. And as he was walking along the road, there was a great flash of light, and there was a voice. And Saul heard that voice, and it was the Lord speaking to him. And when he got up from the ground, he could no longer see. And he was led into the city of Damascus, and he stayed there 3 days. And then a man named Ananias came to visit Saul. Now, Ananias did not want to see Saul because he knew that Saul hated Jesus, hated people who believed in Jesus, that he was wanting to throw them in prison. So Ananias wasn't sure about going, but the Lord told Ananias, go. And so Ananias believed, and he went, and he laid his hands on Saul, and something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and Saul could see again, and then he was baptized, and he had a changed heart. And it was no longer that Saul hated Jesus. Saul loves Jesus. Okay? So just the way that God converted, he changed Saul's heart. Just like, remember the first card? What did it say? The first.
Saul hates
Jesus. And that was yellow. And now this is blue. Just like this card got converted, God's love, it's not hidden in there. God's love can change a person's heart. It can change a person's heart, just like that card was changed. We don't always understand it, but we know as we read Scripture, Saul's heart was changed because of the power of the Lord. And he can change our hearts too. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the blessing and the opportunity to continue to share with them the power of your love. Bless them and keep them in Christ, we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. You have gum. That's good. Okay, Grandma gave it to you. That's good.